We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. You can get all your Pack-A-Day updates by following us on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. And remember to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or Spotify. And of course, you can check us out at cheeseheadtv.com. I'm Kyle Fellows, and I am joined by Maggie Loney and Andrew Mertig, and we're here for another Wednesday episode. How are you guys?
Doing really well. It is sort of like that part of the off season where we're not sure what to do, so we just get into random fights on Twitter over weird stuff. I don't know. Hard to follow along. I am fully ingrained in a whole bunch of dynasty fantasy football drafts, so yes. that is fun as well. But we still have some interesting stuff to do to break down the draft, and then we're going to get into our off-season stuff. So I think a lot of things to still keep us and hopefully the listeners engaged as well. But how are you doing, Maggie?
Well, I don't get into fights on the internet, so I don't really know what that's like, but it seems like a lot of work. So I try really hard to avoid all of that that beef that you're talking about. But otherwise, I'm great.
I was just going to say, nobody better have any beef or send any diss tweets towards me, because I will respond.
Is that a threat?
We were talking about diss tracks, so
we thought.
People that takes too much effort. Yeah,
talk about the top, Kyle.
Let me tell you. So we're talking about like things that we're fighting about on the internet. I was trying to explain to my wife, who I usually spare from like sports conversations. She indulges me, but I just know there are things that are interesting to me that are not interesting to her whatsoever. So she was asking me what I was laughing about, and it was on Twitter. It was people were discussing whether or not the players who just recently got drafted were going to have successful careers or not based on the numbers that were being assigned to their jerseys. And so I think it was the Brian Thomas was going to wear 80, and people were like, oh gosh, like it's over already. Like this, you know, or there's, you know, the people that are worried about Marshawn Lloyd and like not getting like zero, whatever. And I was trying to explain why that matters. And she thought that was the most ridiculous thing in the whole world and just could not wrap her mind around. I was like, well, it's kind of a big deal. Like, you don't want to be a linebacker who wears like number 49 or something. And she's like, why? And I'm like, no, like you just don't. Like, and I realized like that is something that you literally cannot explain to someone who doesn't intuitively get like why that matters. And it really kind of blew my mind for a minute. But that's the point in the off season that we are at right now, where we fall into these pits of useless conversations that really don't matter. So,
but don't you think it would be cool to be the first person to like make an obsolete number iconic? Like, I would look at it like a challenge.
Right. Like, what would be a horrible number to 46. Like
46. 46 is,
yeah,
is the worst number.
You see that especially if it's a corner and you're just like, ugh. Holy, you're like, holy crap. Like, let's just do cuts now because that's not happening. Like, it's not going to
46 work. Should only be a long snapper.
Did you guys see that Corey Ballantyne changed his number to 26? So
much improved.
Yes. So the arrows are pointing up. And I know people are concerned about Callan King, but he's 34 is a classic Packers number. Now, there are places where 34 on a corner may not work super well, but we have Mike McKenzie, right? So, like, there, it depends on where you are and what the tradition before you is. But I fall deep into this trap, like, in ways that I shouldn't. But, yeah, it's interesting. I feel like the Packers draft class in most cases is in pretty good shape. I think they've got some good numbers. So,
feel good.
Exactly. I mean, it's important, guys. Okay, that was the biggest train wreck of a start of a show we've probably ever had. Shall we get into the show for today?
Please. Let's do it.
All right. So we are post draft, and we do get to take some deep dives into what the Packers did to bolster their roster through this draft. Of course, after maneuvering the board, Green Bay did make 11 selections in the 2024 draft. Four of them were defensive backs. And so today is all about the impact that this draft class is going to have on the secondary for this new defense, as new defensive coordinator and defensive back specialist Jeff Hafley certainly was gifted a lot of talent to work with this year and in the years ahead. Of course, the Packers paid up for Xavier McKinney in free agency. And so that, coupled with this draft class, presents a pretty well remade group of defensive backs, especially at safety. So let's talk about these guys that are joining the Packers as rookies. Second round pick Javon Bullard, fourth round pick Evan Williams, fifth round pick Keaton Oladapo, and seventh rounder Kalen King.
Yeah, so starting with Javon Bullard, I mean, obviously the Packers were super excited to get him right after Edgerrin Cooper, Packer fans as well in the second round. 5'10", 198 pounds, so a little bit on the smaller side for a safety, but he runs a 4.47 40 and an 8.19 relative athletic score. Also only 21 years old. And obviously he comes from a championship program at Georgia, played 510 snaps in the slot in 2022, and then a lot of deep safety in 2023. But I think his most comfortable position, at least early, is in the slot, but I'm not entirely sure if that's where Jeff Hafley will use him right away. So he did seem really high on Bullard during rookie minicamp, but of course that is what you'd expect from a brand new coach and defensive coordinator who's also going through his first rookie minicamp as well. But it does seem like Bullard processes really fast and is a quick learner, and his versatility gives the Packers a lot of options. So he can come on a blitz, he can play deep, he can cover tight ends over the middle of the field. So it's really a fun do-it-all option that the Packers took early in round two.
Yeah, and for me personally, watching Bullard, I had him rated as my third safety in this class and the overall 75th player. So really, like, late second round, that fits in right with his value. To me, I saw someone who is quicker than fast, but I will say that 4.47 40 definitely alleviates some of the concerns there with straight line speed. I thought he had really strong instincts. To me, tackling was a struggle on tape. He has a little bit of a smaller frame, but what I liked was his ability to do everything really well, even if he didn't have a super elite trait. I thought he was the best all-around safety in this draft, and I think as a versatile piece next to Xavier McKinney, he will have an opportunity to be really successful. So I don't think he's a great prospect, but we know that some of the best safeties in this league do take 2 to 3 years to develop. So I'm not going to have incredibly high expectations from day one, but I do think Bullard is a great fit in Hafley's scheme and will provide a player who can be really solid as a starter right away and potentially develop into something more than that.
All right, so I've got Evan Williams here, who the Packers selected in the fourth round at pick 111. And Evan Williams is a prospect that I glanced at in this pre-draft process, but really didn't study. I didn't, you know, have a grade on him. He was just outside the prospects, of course, that I chose to watch. I drew the line just a little bit early there with the safeties, I guess. But I did think that he was kind of that late day three kind of a player. But obviously the Packers felt differently. And based on some reporting, it sounds like there were several other teams who were in on Williams there in the fourth round as well, which would explain why the Packers felt the need to trade up for him. But Williams is smart, instinctive. He's a player that gives you full effort all the time, plays with a hot motor, somewhat of a limited athlete, but still has an 8.2 RAS as far as his measured athleticism. I think he brings a high floor because of those intangibles, right? The intelligence and the instincts. And whether it's as a starter or a backup who's forced into action, you know he's not going to be a liability out there. He's going to know his assignments and use those instincts to be in the right place. He's a good tackler. He's really fun when Oregon used him on blitzes. And so he's going to be a stud on special teams as well. He played an insane amount of snaps on special teams throughout his college career. His journey is actually really, really interesting. He played wide receiver in high school. So you like that he should have a leg up on making a play on the ball, although he didn't make as many plays as you kind of would like to see with that in his profile and his background, but it is still there. I mentioned that he's a highly intelligent player. He was actually recruited out of high school by Ivy League programs like Princeton, Harvard, and Columbia, but he did land at Fresno State, where he spent 4 years. His final two seasons at Fresno, he led the team in solo tackles, and then in 2023, he transferred to Oregon, and guess who led those Oregon Ducks in solo tackles in 2023 after his transfer? Evan Williams. So I love this player. I think he's a really fun player for the Packers to add after kind of digging back into him after the Packers selected him. I love watching the interviews and getting a feel for the players throughout the draft process. And Evan's interviews are incredible. Just a really interesting guy to listen to talk about the game. You can tell he loves the game. And it's easy to see why coaches would really want to add him to this roster. And really, it seems like stand on the table to convince their GM to go ahead and even trade up for a guy like this. So he's going to be great in your locker room and a leader on your football team. I think a lot of fans kind of felt like the pick was a bit of a reach at the time, especially given that they did trade up to do it. But after digging into the player, you can 100% see why teams would have been eager to get this guy into their building. And he's wearing number 33, which I think is a good fit for the Packers. I know that's a little bit of a sour taste in our mouths, maybe with Aaron Jones just leaving, but there's a good history with number 33, and so I think he'll wear it well.
Football season, no football season, it doesn't really matter. It's always Prize Picks season. And there's never been a better time to get started with Prize Picks than right now with all the NHL and NBA playoff action, as well as the WNBA season getting ready to start next week. You guys have heard me talk about Prize Picks quite a bit, so let me just key you in on some of my favorite aspects that you may not know about. First of all, they have newly introduced star players that, if selected and part of your starting lineup, could result in a 10% payout boost. This has made the usual amazing Prize Picks experience even that much more exciting. They also have injury insurance, so even if one of your players gets injured and they exit the game in the first half and don't return in the second, Prize Picks has your back and does not count that as a loss. And finally, I get this question all the time. Yes, Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, Georgia, and most importantly, Wisconsin. My picks this week, I'm going with the ultra-hot Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson in the NBA and Connor McDavid for the Edmonton Oilers as they get set to take on the Vancouver Canucks. So here's what you need to do. Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, 33 looks good in the secondary normally. But like you, I didn't do a ton of studying of Williams before the selection, but I came away really impressed by what I saw. You know, I think he kind of fits into that same category as Bullard, where he's super comfortable in the slot as a nickel DB. But I thought it was interesting. Bill Huber spoke to Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, for listeners who may not be familiar. And Nagy said that the Packers really, really liked both Williams and Oladapo, who we're going to be talking about next. Williams isn't necessarily a freaky athlete, but he absolutely has good football IQ, like you mentioned. Just makes those instinctive, smart football plays whenever he's on the field. Probably not going to be an interception machine, but he should save a touchdown or two just by being a reliable football player who's always in the right place at the right time. So yeah, according to Bill Huber and Jim Nagy, the Packers were just infatuated with Williams and Oladapo. So fun to see that they got both of those guys after being so enamored at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, and that is a perfect transition into talking about Keaton Oladapo. For me personally, I had him at safety 16 and overall 198. So I thought the Packers drafted him kind of in the right spot. I know a lot of people had him really, really high, and so maybe they think that this is a bigger value. And you can see that depending on what preference you're looking for, or, you know, what flavor you're looking for, what skill set. He is really good at coming downhill. He's super physical. He does struggle with tackling fundamentals. I would say he's much more of a hitter than a tackler at this point. But there's definitely room for that too. His change of direction was pretty poor, in my opinion. I didn't think he necessarily had deep, rangy speed. But if you're looking for a player to use as a like big nickel linebacker or a physical safety in the box, Oladapo is going to bring a lot of those skills to this Green Bay secondary. He did have an 8.12 RAS, but that was largely boosted by his size. He is listed, or he measured at 6'2", 216 pounds. He ran a 4.58 40-yard dash, which is not great, but it's good enough. And he had kind of solid splits. They are sort of in that yellow range if you're looking at the green, yellow, red color coding on RAS. And so he's a good athlete, maybe not a great one.
Yeah, Oladapo was my safety 9. I only watched 13 safeties, so I did like him a good bit, but I can't say, you know, Andrew had him a little bit lower on the list. I probably would have liked I don't like Andrew that much, that goes without saying. I probably would have liked Oladapo a little bit more than Andrew, but I can't say that for sure. I just think he's a player you want to be honest with yourself about, with his limitations and the role that you envision for him. But I thought he was worth the pick in the 5th round for sure. I kind of thought he was a value in like the 4th round. He's a big frame safety who makes more plays in the secondary than you might expect from someone his size, which I'm sure played a big factor in why the Packers liked him. I love that you can absolutely feel the energy and swagger that he plays with as you watch the tape. He's another high effort player. I noted that he made it a lot of key tackles to force critical situations short of the sticks or the goal line, just seemed to show up in those moments. But there's definitely some stiffness to him. And I think that that's an area where you just kind of have to be honest about where you're going to put him so that he doesn't get in, you know, situations that aren't advantageous to his skill set. Not super fluid in coverage, so you need to protect him from being in those man coverage situations. But toughness just oozes from this kid. He brings the hit stick, absolutely. He's that true strong safety type and plays downhill really, really well. A team captain, and you can tell that he's just eager to put in the work and loves the game. So at a minimum, he's someone that you can get excited about the impact that he's going to have on special teams and probably brings a little bit more to your defense. He's going to be wearing 27 since we're talking about numbers. And as someone who owns a Josh Jones jersey, I am really hopeful that maybe I can slap a new nameplate on this one. And Oladapo will become something pretty special for the Packers.
Yeah, I heard a rumor I was going to be gifted an Oladapo jersey for Mother's Day slash my birthday, but we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, like talking about some of his metrics, that when he came to rookie minicamp, he said that he had broken his toe at the combine and actually had to have surgery. So not sure how that affected some of his athletic testing. But yeah, he's actually in a boot on a scooter, or at least he was. So he is not participating in, or did not participate now that it ended, in the rookie minicamp, but he expects to be ready for training camp. So potentially could be a better athlete than maybe what some of his numbers showed originally. And I think that's what's so interesting about rookie minicamp too, is it's a first look at some of these guys and to hear maybe some of the tidbits that they weren't allowed to share prior to the draft. But last on our list then, of course, is Kalen King, the 7th round cornerback. And boy, all it took for me was listening to his media introduction to hear how motivated he's going to be in the NFL. I'm sure everyone has heard this by now, obviously ad nauseum when it comes to King and his story. But in 2022, he was widely regarded as a first round pick. And then he had a disappointing 2023 season and slid all the way into the 7th round. So, of course, then guys like Jaden Reed and Sauce Gardner, among others, were quick to hop onto social media and point out that King absolutely is not a 7th round kind of talent. He's only 21 years old and is one of those high upside prospects that Goody loves to target in the 7th. So I think he'll come in and immediately improve the depth at corner, possibly competing with Stokes and Valentine for immediate playing time. And I mean, we saw how much Valentine played in 2023 as another 7th rounder. So I wouldn't be surprised here if King gets onto the field earlier rather than later in 2024.
Yeah, so I talked about two players that I had a little bit lower than consensus, but Kalen King, I am way, way higher than most. I had him at CB7 and overall player 62 in this class. So I really, really love the value of this pick. To me, he has my favorite term, very oily hips. He's smooth running and mirroring wide receivers. Because of some of the long speed questions, I do think he's probably a little bit better in zone than man, but he can be sufficient in multiple defenses. He does tend to get a little stuck in his transition from backpedal to opening up. If you look at the 2022 tape, he is super instinctive. I absolutely love the way that he reads and reacts. But if you watch the 23 tape, that goes away. Well, What's the million-dollar question here? Did he just stop being instinctive, which is not a trait that most football players lose, or did he lose his confidence or something else happen that hampered his play? And we won't know for a little while, but I do think that the upside of what 2022 shows gives us the potential for a top-notch slot cornerback in Green Bay who can give you a little bit on the outside as well. So if 2023 showed the player he really is, then you probably wasted a very late 7th round pick, and who really cares about that? But if he hits, he could potentially hit really big. So I am so on board with this draft selection. And that kind of gets us to the end of the defensive back chat. We had a lot of players to go through because Green Bay is really looking at reworking the secondary, more in the image of the Jeff Hafley defense, but of course, just adding depth and a safety room that wasn't particularly very good is going to look a whole heck of a lot different, basically entirely different, outside of potentially Anthony Johnson Jr. So anything before we wrap this one up?
No, I was just going to say, make sure you find us on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, and tell us which Packers players you feel like got good numbers and which players you feel like got the bad ones, because that's the most important thing that we're talking about on the show. But let us know your thoughts about who we already know how their career is going to go based on what number they're wearing.
Also, send any beef to Andrew so that he can respond in the form of a diss track. Really, you know, on pins and needles waiting to hear what that sounds like. So don't let us down.
Please do that. Yes.
I will make that a top priority in my schedule. but that is all the time that we have for today. This has been the Pack a Day Podcast. You can find Kyle on Twitter at his new handle, at the Kyle Fellows. That's at the Kyle Fellows. You can find Maggie at Maggie J. Loney, and also make sure you check out Pax What She Said, and you can find me at Andrew Mertig. You can catch Kyle, Maggie, and myself Moving back to Fridays next week, believe it or not. We make our triumphant return after about a year away. And next week we'll be back with some more really fun off-season conversation. But thanks so much for listening. And as always, remember...